What's up, people? Welcome to the Startup Founder Roadmap. I'm excited for this interview. We had to reschedule multiple times, but I'm glad I finally got Matt on the show. He's one of those people that he works with SaaS Academy, and this guy is one of the people in the SaaS world that has that knowledge and experience and the skill set kind of combined to really be a powerhouse that actually helps founders in that early stage. You guys know on this podcast, I'm all about helping those founders in year one to like year three, right? That's is really what we're focused on heavily. And Matt is one of the people that's been doing it for years, works with a ton of startups. Like if you are a founder in a SaaS space specifically, Matt is somebody you have to follow. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. It's a heck of an intro. I feel awesome. So thanks.
Well, I mean, I like having this conversation with people like yourself, because I found when I started really getting deeper into the SaaS space that it's a lot of people that want to sell you coaching or consulting or a course or events. It's a lot of stuff being sold to founders, especially if you're a founder that has gotten any amount of funding. Like they're right there trying to sell you something. I think people like you that are proving themselves are the ones that we should be listening to, though. Like if you actually have gone there and done it and you've helped other people do it, that gives you a massive amount of credibility.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I appreciate you saying that. It's I don't know. It's a good rule for life, Chris, right? It's like, you know, you don't want to follow along people who haven't generated outcomes that you want to generate in life, you know? So you got to choose the, call it the information diet, right? You got to choose what you let in, just like you choose what you eat or you drink.
So. Yeah, and I love to start my podcast interviews like opposite of most people. Mm-hmm. So I always want to give the audience a reason to listen to you.
For sure.
So out of all the things you've done in the startup world and SaaS, what are you most proud of at this point?
Oh, that's an awesome question. So I'll tell you what it doesn't have anything to do with. It's funny, like everyone talks about, you know, growth and revenue and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And look, that's all cool. But the thing that I get most proud of when I look back so far is creating jobs, right? And I just, I love the fact that as an entrepreneur, and it's not a SaaS thing, it's just a business owner thing. But as a business owner, you have the opportunity to do two things really, really well. Number one is you can create jobs, but there's a lot of people who can do that. But you can create good jobs. And what I mean by that is like, as the business thrives, the better the business performs, you can do things like pay top of market. You can do things like build world-class cultures and, you know, a work environment where people really want to show up and kick ass. And it's not just about coming in and like punching the ticket, you know, for the week. And I think that that's a privilege, man. And I've seen a lot of team members in my first company and at SaaS Academy really just like grow and develop and evolve over the years because of the challenges that the business has put in front of them and they were able to show up and solve them. So like without a doubt, seeing my team, you know, thrive and elevate their knowledge and the results that they can drive in the business based on a job that I helped create, 100%, that's what I'm most proud of.
Oh man, that's such a unique one, because most people will say a certain amount of money they made or maybe funding, but creating jobs, I think that's a big deal, especially now because of the way the world is changing. You know, like it's not the same where you could just go to college, get this job and stay there for 30 years. We just don't have that anymore. So you being somebody that actually goes out there and creates jobs, I think that's a pretty big deal, man.
Yeah, I feel like it's something great you can kind of contribute to society, right? And everyone's like, everyone throws that word around. Oh, I want to go change the world. Like, okay, you're like, you're probably not changing the world with your like B2B CRM tool for whatever, something, right? But you can change somebody's world, right? By giving them an opportunity. And so it's like, you can drive greater impact at a smaller scale. And I think that that's within reach of almost every entrepreneur. You could give one person the job of their dreams and they could just build alongside you for a decade. And like, you will change that person's world. You may not change the world, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's a really good point. Cause I think when we look at changing the world, it's always from this massive, like millions of people perspective.
Yeah.
But if we just focus on our community of a couple thousand people, like that's a real impact, because then those people can go and help other people. And then your impact was like, you know, really in close proximity. But because of how many people you helped in close proximity, they end up helping the world. I love 100%. That perspective on it.
Yeah,
100%. Okay. I'm learning something. I'm already learning something. So I know you said you get deep into the analytics and a lot of the numbers on the SaaS side.
Yeah.
How do you create content, or how do you educate people on that and keep them engaged and really make sure they're getting the message? Because that kind of stuff is hard to get across to people. Yeah. So how do you deliver that?
It's interesting because it's something that I'm wrestling with now. Like, you know, I've been in the SaaS game for a while, but I'm relatively new to the content game. You know, I've really only started putting out content like under my own brand 3-4 months, you know, so I'm still pretty fresh at this. And so I'll be interested to listen to this recording a year from now and see if what I'm about to say is true or not. But, you know, I think there's two things, right? I think that number one, the first question you got to ask is, you know, should this resonate with everybody? Because the answer frequently is no, right? Where it's like, it's tough to get people to pay attention to the solution to a problem they've not yet experienced, right? And so I think part of it is figuring out, how do I talk about, you know, like something, let's take an example, because it's easier, right? I'm very passionate about tracking your metrics on a weekly cadence in a business. I call it the precision scorecard. It's what I run my entire operating rhythm around as a COO. But until you've gone through the experience in a company of, say, burning 6 months of your life building in the wrong direction, or solving a problem that's not really a problem, or, you know, realizing that you're accidentally running out of cash and didn't realize it, which, like, sounds crazy on the surface, happens all the time, right? Yeah. And so it's like, until you've gone through that and you're like, oh shit, like, there's actually a way to make sure this never happens again, sometimes it doesn't quite land. Because it took me, like, for scorecarding, for that one competency, it took me a few tries to, like, really, really care about it. And once I saw that, I think a scorecard is without a doubt the number one tool to grow a company. You know, you have to have a good product. You have to have a competent team. There's some table stakes stuff that has to be true. But when you've checked those couple of boxes and you're like, I got something to sell that people want to buy, like, if you truly want to grow, measuring your data on a weekly cadence is probably the most important thing you can do, because it informs every other decision you make. But I just find that until you may do that wrong, you might not really be engaged in the solution, you know? So I think that's the first question is, like, should it resonate with everyone? Maybe, maybe not. Cause you might have to, like, water down what you're talking about to make it general enough to appeal to people who haven't gone through it yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Cause I don't think people will even understand some of the details of when you break down, like, you're wasting money here, you're losing money because of this. It's kind of hard for people to understand that, because they don't even see it yet, because they haven't made that money. So right. They're like, I'm not going to lose money doing that. But then when somebody like you comes in, you're like, look, this is what happened with my other client over here. This is why the scorecard is so valuable. I do agree that it could be kind of hard to translate that message, because sometimes business owners are a little naive. We're like, we think
you have to be. Chris, you got to be naive. It's uninformed optimism. Like, you have to be naive to start a business. And it's a powerful thing, man. But you have to be. Like, if you knew all the hard parts, you'd never do it. I wouldn't, you know?
That's true. That's a good point. It'd be like, I'm going to go broke and not make any money from this thing for 2 years. Right. Like, most people wouldn't start. Because that's the reality for, like, 90% of businesses. It's going to be a struggle. Yeah. So how was that journey for you when you were trying to build the thing? And how long, I talk about this on one of my other shows, I call it grind time. Mm-hmm. How long for you was that phase where you were just struggling trying to figure things out?
Yeah, so there was like two, I'll divide it up, right? There's the side hustle grind time, and then there's the main thing grind time. I had a nice healthy dose of both, right? So it started, so I was a fireman for 10 years. That's where I had no plans to leave that. Like you said, that job you stay at for 30 years, like, the fire department is that job. You don't leave usually. It's still one of the rare jobs. It's got like a government pension, all that stuff. Like, these dudes, they thought I was crazy when I told them I was leaving, but we'll get to that. But you know, a lot of firemen have side jobs, side hustles, whatever. And so, like, that's where it started. My shift partner, Jake, opened a CrossFit gym. I helped him build the website because I knew my way around some code, you know, pretty easy stuff. And I started just like building websites for gyms, right? And so that was 2014. I messed around with that with him for a little while. We ended up doing a bunch of different things for gyms in the technology space. But we really started riffing on like marketing automation. And this was like 2016. It was before like Infusionsoft was a thing, but like Go High Level wasn't around yet. A lot of people use that nowadays, right? Some of these marketing automation SaaS, like 2016 was still pretty early. And so, you know, we started messing around to build on the software that was out there, because I didn't know how to write real software. I could make some websites, but that was it. And so we were like using other people's software and like putting everything together with, you know, Zaps and duct tape and just, you know, trying to make it happen. And we were still working for the fire department. We got, after you know, a year and a half of messing around, we ended up getting like 60 customers on like this cobbled together software paying us recurring revenue. And so that was like, there was probably 2 years of grind time there before we built something that people actually wanted. And that was crazy because we had no idea how to do it. We were like pre-selling it before it existed. And then we were like trying to build it real quick. It was bonkers. And then we quit the fire department in 2017, and it was another 18 months of like paying myself $0 until we actually started to generate some traction and grow. So, I mean, it was a journey, man.
Yeah. That's the part of, I think, building something that's significant that founders don't really think about a lot. It's like, we do get kind of caught in our own heads. Like, I can do anything and I'm great and I'm super smart. But then that time comes where we're not going to make any money for like a year,
yeah,
a year and a half. And I think that's the time frame where you have to stick with it the most, the hardest, mm-hmm. Like you got to go even harder,
yeah.
Because once you kind of break through that wall, you kind of create a different life for yourself, and it's never the same again. It's just completely different. So how has your life changed since you ended that grind period and now you're kind of flourishing?
Every possible way. And again, my answer is not about like, my answer has nothing to do with money. Like, yeah, we sold the company in 2020. We had a good financial outcome. Like, yes, everything was cool, but that's just not where it's at for me. Like, I'm a family man, right? My wife works in the hospital, shift work. So like when I had my first two kids when I was still in the fire department, and I remember auditing my calendar, because I'm a nerd, and I realized that between the two of us going back and forth to work our shifts, we were like single parenting our oldest kid at the time. It was 26 days a month out of, you know, 30 or 31. And so wow. It was to the point, like this will hit, I think, for the parents who are listening to this, like it was to the point where he would start crying when both of us were home, because he knew in his little 1-year-old brain that that meant one of us was getting ready to leave. And that was like, whew, you know, that was tough. And so, look, I had, you know, an advantage that I have a spouse that works, you know, so she was able to like help keep things moving while I went into that period where we weren't making any money. Not everyone has that advantage. I was lucky to have it, you know, but, and so how my life has changed is like, Chris, I get to work from home, right? And like, I'm seeing my kids grow up. I get to have breakfast with them in the morning. I get to have dinner with them at night. Yes, I work hard. I work a lot of hours. I sometimes will work weekends on the computer. Sometimes I got to travel. Like, you still got to pay the man, right? With effort. But
yeah,
but it's different than being on a shift for, you know, 60 plus hours a week where you're physically gone out of your house. You know, like, I'm going to finish this podcast and I'm going to go give my son a high five and say what's up, you know? And so it's just, it's cool to be able to have that proximity, I think, to my family, because it lets me be a more engaged dad and a more engaged husband and like a better, I feel like, participant in my household. And like, those are the lives I really care about changing. I got three sons and they need a role model. That's my most important job, you know? And so it lets me be around them to make sure they turn into good men. Like that's how I would say that's how I leverage the results that the business has given me. Like, that's where I put it, is back into the kids, you know?
I agree, man. For me, that's the whole point of this entrepreneurship thing, is the freedom. I love that more than anything. I love that I can take my kids to school. I pick them up. And I have all girls, so I just feel a certain level of responsibility to like show up for them, and they love it. You know, they love that aspect, you know? And yeah, I agree. We still have to travel. We still gotta, you know, sometimes you're in that sprint where you're going to work until 11 o'clock that night. Some weekends you're going to work and stuff, you know? And I think that's just part of entrepreneurship. And it's a price you pay. And I think that it's worth paying that, because then we get to do the things that, man, most people in my family don't get to live the life that I live. And it's crazy because they just don't understand everything that comes with it. Yeah. It's like they see the fun part, but they don't see the other part where I'm like working until 11 sometimes.
Yeah. Or they're like, you know, Chris, when are you going to get a little job, or how's your computer thing going? Right. Like people, they don't. And it's OK. Like it's, you know, I don't know, man. It's like you want different results. You got to do different stuff, you know, and that means people aren't going to understand it. But man, I think something I've been leaning into a lot lately on that topic is like deliberately creating community, right, with like-minded people. And I think, and it's not something that takes money. Like one thing that I started doing 3-4 months ago is I just started like a hike in like my community. I live outside of DC, about an hour outside of Washington, DC. And so I just started the DC Founders Hike. And it's just like, there's like five or six of us right now, all entrepreneurs, you know, running companies. And we're just like, we're recording this episode on a Wednesday. I went on it this morning. Every Wednesday morning, we meet up at this spot at 6:30 and we just go for a little hike in the woods and talk shop. And it's wild, you know, like we were, you know, 6:45 before the sun came up talking about, you know, workflow automation software for large enterprises. And it's just, but it's cool because, you know, you can have the conversations that other people don't understand. So, you know, you don't have to like right now coming off the holidays, I can only imagine how many thousands of entrepreneurs and founders are like coming off their kitchen table conversations with their uncles and aunts and grandparents that are like, think they're unemployed, right? It's just, it feels so crazy. So just finding some people to hang with, whatever, it doesn't have to be a hike, it's whatever, but you know, finding some people to hang with where you can just talk to someone who understands. And that's, I mean, that's a big part of what SaaS Academy is too, is just a community, you know, aside from the coaching, where you can just talk to people who get it. It's like therapy, man. You know, it's just, it's so helpful to have someone who understands what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of the journey of building a good business too, is you need to have people around you that are kind of going in the same direction. Yeah. Because, and no disrespect, but the people who are like the normals, I call them, who just work the regular job, you know, they go to school or whatever, they work the regular job, they're kind of in a different world.
Yeah.
For us, we're in a different, everything is different from our daily routines to how we work out, what we eat. Yeah. Everything is different.
Yeah. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with either world. It's just different world, you know? It's just a choice.
And then you got to understand that when you're in this different world, most of these people outside of that won't understand you.
Yeah.
And just accept that and don't look for acceptance or understanding even. I started my podcast journey in like 2015. Mm-hmm. My mom just now understands what it is. Like she asked me for years, what's that? Well, how's your little podcast thing going? I'm like, I can't even explain some of the stuff at this point because it's grown to be so big. I didn't think when I started podcasting, I had no idea that it would get to where it is now. I didn't think that I would be in a startup space, that I would have software.
Yeah.
I just thought I was going to record and like talk shop and that would be it. But it's like taken off to a different stratosphere. Like in 2024, it's just at a different level.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, because I started off talking sports. I'm like, I'll just talk sports here and there and make some money. Now I'm in a different world. So when you started in your journey of building companies and stuff, you said you had a good exit. Was that always the goal, or were you like, I'm going to do this and, you know, take care of my family? Like, what was the vision there?
Yeah, no, my only strategy is to make the next right move, you know? And so that's, and it's not to say like, I break that apart from vision, like, especially now I lean in more on having, you know, a bigger vision and some 3-year goals and stuff like that. But especially in those earlier days, it was really about just what is the next right move I can make to keep this thing alive and try to figure out how to get through whatever's stopping me from growing, right? And so, like, to answer your question directly, like, no, I didn't start the business with a plan for an exit. I just started the business because it was fun. I was working with my best friend Jake, and we were solving hard problems, and I was like, this is cool, and then people wanted it, and that felt really good, and I'm just going to keep building it, you know? And so it was always just like, next right move, next right move, next right move. And, like, that's the whole reason I learned to code, is we were on third-party software, and it kept breaking, and I had to stand up and take the blame for it either way. I finally said to Jake, look, if we're going to mess this up, I at least want it to be my fault. So like, let's go build it, you know, and get blamed for other people's stuff. And so it's just like, I don't know. It's just you, it's like a hurdle race, right? It's like, you got to jump one hurdle at a time over and over again. And so we were just building, man. And we started to get some interest, and the conversation evolved, 8 or 9 month, you know, journey. And it's crazy because like, it's really tempting for that to become a distraction. And so it took a lot of discipline for us, right? Is to like,
especially because that. you're in that building phase of like, I need more money and stuff. And then they come in like, hey, we want to buy you out. It's kind of like, and I think about that all the time too. Like, what would it take for somebody to buy something off of me, whether it's a newsletter or a podcast or something? And I think for me, it's more so about, I do have goals I want to reach in terms of impact. Like with this show specifically, I have 100 episodes planned that I want to put out in 1 year. And I want to make an impact on the founder and the software space versus, you know, the numbers matter in a way, but more so, like you said, about getting people jobs. I care more about like making sure I impact founders out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I know for me, I'm still in that early stage. Like I haven't had my company for 10 years. This is like my second year. Mm-hmm. So as I'm learning, I want to share the information I'm learning with an audience. And I think we can all just kind of grow together.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, man, like impact is a funny thing, right? Because after I sold my first company, I was wrestling. Like I was kind of like torturing myself about, you know, what is my life's work going to be? What's the next thing going to be? Right. And I finally realized this, that your company or your work and your impact don't have to be the same thing. They can be. And if they are, that's awesome, but they don't have to be, right? Because a lot of the time, the impact you want to drive simply requires resources to allocate, right? And so like, there's so much pressure I think we put on ourselves to do the work that also drives the impact, where it might just be do the work, build a company that generates a financial outcome that you need so you can take that, you know, bit of resources and put it towards the impact. Like they can be separate. And so I think that for me, that felt super liberating, because then I was just optimizing towards, let me go solve interesting problems, you know, that can generate commercially viable businesses. And then I can take that and figure out exactly what my impact on the world is going to be. And they don't have to be the same thing. And that helped me go a lot faster, honestly.
Yeah, I like that, because the speed thing for me is a big deal. I don't like moving slow. I like to just get stuff done. I really plan out my life meticulously, where I have certain tasks I got to get done. Like I'm building 3 companies at one time, and it sounds crazy to most people, but it's actually easy, because I know on Monday I have these tasks for this company, these for this company, and these for this company. Like it's actually pretty easy, to be honest. When you have like more of a system to design your life, it becomes easy to flow with that. But we got to talk a little bit about SaaS Academy. I feel like it would be wrong to do this whole interview and not talk about that, because I feel like that's a big part of what you do, right?
It's the main thing. Yeah, 100%. And SaaS Academy was wild, because like I first joined SaaS Academy as a customer. Like I was, you know, I was riding fire trucks for a living, man. Like I didn't know, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And so it was after I left the fire department and we were plateaued. We had brute forced our way to like 18K in revenue per month and had no idea how to grow. And we were there for like a year. And I joined SaaS Academy as a client because I was just like, man, like I'm not flying to Mars. Like this is B2B SaaS. Someone out here knows how to do this. I just want to go figure out how to do it. And, you know, we bootstrapped the company, so we weren't getting paid. It was our dime. And I talked to the rest of the team and I was like, look, if we don't change anything, we got like 8 months left. If we do this and it doesn't work, we got 6 months left. Either way, the worst case scenario doesn't really change. It just pulls it up a little bit. So let's go try something. And honestly, man, the things that I learned in that first, even in the first 3 months in SaaS Academy, it was just like, it was like equal parts inspiration and humble pie, right? Because like I went to an in-person event and I had this crazy convoluted business model, right? Everyone wants to like think they're smart until their shit doesn't work, right? And so like I had this business model, I was like selling through partners and I wasn't going to do any sales, blah, 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 whatever. And so I went to this event and it was all about sales. And I realized that the way I was selling was stopping me from implementing any of the stuff I was getting taught. And then I also looked around the room and realized that I was the brokest guy in the room. And I was like, all right, like somebody here is smart and I don't think it's me. So
yeah, that'll get you right. Yeah, that'll humble you right there.
Yeah. And I got back, I called Jake, my co-founder. And I was like, dude, put your seatbelt on, man. We're changing everything. And like, we rebuilt the entire company in the 12 weeks that followed. And, you know, I always tell people like the win of that first company belongs to, you know, my team and I, but SaaS Academy gave us the map to follow. And so like, it was, you know, it was coaching from you know, Dan at the time and, you know, Marcel, one of the head coaches there, and a few other key players, the content and then the community, like we were talking about earlier, of having people I could just call up and be like, yo, I'm going through this problem. Or I don't know what to do here. What do you think? Like it did a lot for us. And so, you know, after I sold the company, Dan and I did some investing and stuff like that. But when I had the chance to partner with him on SaaS Academy, I was like, how could I not do it? Right. Because it gave me so much as a first time founder. that having the opportunity to go back and, you know, help scale that company and take it to the next level, like that's a just an incredible thing to do that I really care about. So
yeah, I will say this, that's something I've thought about myself is like, if I had to sell the show, this show specifically, that would be a place I would want to sell the show to. Because I love what SaaS Academy represents. I love what it is. I'm planning on joining myself too, just because it's like, that's the thing. I'm not a coder. So I'm like the guy that like, I just built my own little lane in podcasting. I know what I'm good at. I know what I can do, all of that stuff. So I'm really, really good at staying in my lane. The product I've built is on a no-code platform and everything, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but I do plan on joining SaaS Academy just to see what it is for myself and how it can help me. But that's kind of my problem is I look so far ahead. Like, because everything that I do is centered around my one thing, I can easily plant other pieces out and put together a nice puzzle really fast.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a problem, but also a gift in a way, because I'm thinking, what does 5 years look like? And I know in 5 years, I'm still going to be doing this podcast thing. Like, I'm never going to give up my microphone, like ever. I got like 20, so they're not going nowhere. So I found my lane. So I'm always trying to find new ways to take what I do and put it into other situations and scenarios to help other people. And it's a fun journey for me. But I love that you have such a great perspective of SaaS Academy and what it's done for you. Because I had so many people reaching out to me on Twitter trying to sell me this course or this program or this thing. And I'm like, and I'm building this show for beginner founders, right?
Sure.
So and eventually part of my plan is to refer something to my audience, obviously, right? Like I want to do that, but I want to make sure it's something good, to be honest. So there's so much stuff out there, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I was terrified. Like when I first joined SaaS Academy as a client, I was scared. We paid for it out of our pocket, you know. It was not a small investment, and I'd never invested in coaching for myself in my life ever, right? Like I worked for the fire department, for the government. The training was given to us. You went and you did it, right? Like the concept of paying for access to a group of people that would make me better was an alien concept to me. I had no idea, right, what I was doing. And I was just, and a cynic too. I was just like kind of cynical, like, oh, probably won't work, but you know, not much downside. Let's give it a shot. And I was blown away. And so yes, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not great, but there's also a lot of like magic on the other side of that cynicism sometimes, right? Because I was, you know, cynic to the core, man. But it's like, you know, always, you know, suspect everything, but man, it's like when I was able to get past that and really just start to, you know, look for the opportunities that were out there and pick some of them up and just see, man, you could just learn one thing in one conversation that unlocks the next massive growth opportunity for you. And it's like that sometimes that one conversation is like it turns the return on investment for the whole thing. You know, it's crazy how it works.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I love that you've had this really kind of, You had the journey that a lot of people, I think, want to go from like the corporate world or the blue collar job to, you know, outside of that, you now have this company where, like you said, you could work from home. I meet so many people that want that lifestyle, man. You've actually done it successfully and you're like thriving in it. That's why I think a lot of founders need to hear stories like this. So what's next for you? Like, what's the next thing on your list of goals?
Honestly, my goals are pretty straightforward these days. You know, I'm fully committed to growing SaaS Academy. I 100% believe in the mission to the point where, you know, I was 100% going to start another software company and just, you know, swing a little harder for a bigger outcome. And I'm in, I just love what we're doing. So, I mean, my goal, my professional goal is stay focused on SaaS Academy. And outside of that, get better at content and grow that, you know, just launch the YouTube channel and got a newsletter starting and all that cool stuff. We got a book coming out that Dan and myself and the other people from SaaS Academy, there's four of us that we're co-authoring a book, Software as a Science. So that comes out in Q2 2024. So yeah, man, I'm just trying to grow as a person and grow SaaS Academy and keep getting after it. So
that's me. Oh man, I'm gonna have to get Dan on. You got it. We should do like a, I've done these before. They work really well. We should like a roundtable episode for the book. That would be great to bring everybody on. And we just talk about it. Cause I think that, again, I think it's something that a lot of founders need that education. And to be truthful, founders like me, right? I'm from Compton, California. I didn't grow up in the best environment, mm-hmm. right? Like, I was a high school dropout, still found a way to get my degree, get my diploma and go to college, got my degree and stuff. So I didn't have the conventional path. Yeah. And I just don't believe that there's a lot of information and resources out there for founders that didn't go to Stanford, right? Right. Like that didn't go on this traditional, like, oh, I know this founder, I know that founder. But yeah, man, I'm super excited for what you guys are doing. I got to get that book. I want to listen or read it, probably listen to it as well, review it on the show. Cool. Love to have you back on, man.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Is your newsletter and is all that stuff live? I'll make sure I put it down in the show notes.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's mattverlach.com. You can go mattverlach.com/newsletter. It's right over there. I'm Matt Verlach on all the channels. Got the YouTube stuff cranking. It's all out there. But yeah, jump in the newsletter. The thing with the newsletter, I'm just putting out everything I know. You know, I just want to share it all. It's all good. So, you know, like, I just got done a 2-part session on quarterly planning and how to, you know, do a really just rock solid planning process, give away the templates and the agenda and the whole nine yards, put a video with it. Like, I just want to share it all because it all helped me. So I'm just trying to put it out to the world and whoever it can help. It's awesome. So that's what's up.
I love it. I love it, man. Thank you for being on the show. This was great, man.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I appreciate it.